When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Jason Bari started playing the fiddle when he was just 10 years old. By 15, he was working as a freelance fiddler for many local bands in Central Florida. And by his late teens, he was the Florida State Fiddle Champion. He's presently a member of the band Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers. He joins me today on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his latest album release, his fourth, entitled Radioactive.
Hi, Jason. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. Are you in Florida or Tennessee?
I live in Tennessee.
Okay. Grew up in Florida, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Born and raised outside of the Tampa Bay area. Little town called Valrico. Not many people know where that's at, but it was a good place to grow up. There was a lot of music down there, believe it or not. A lot of snowbirds used to come down there in winter through the obviously the winter months, and we always had a chance to meet a lot of good musicians that way.
Is that coastal or more towards the inward countryside?
It's more inward.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. More towards the countryside of Florida.
And you started at a pretty young age, is that right?
Yeah. I started playing the instrument when I was 10 years old through the school system. When you entered the fifth grade in Hillsborough County, where I grew up, you had the opportunity to be able to start taking classical violin lessons. And so I started with that. And then a few months later, my dad somehow found this place called the Bluegrass Parlor. And it catered to acoustic music, mainly bluegrass. And they had lessons there and a jam session every Thursday night. And, of course, you could go in there and buy everything that you needed, from CDs and tapes to different sorts of publications to help you with your journey of learning to play music.
Had you been exposed to bluegrass music as a young child?
Well, my dad, he loved the music, bluegrass and country music in particular. And his grandfather, my great-grandfather, happened to be a fiddle player. And my dad was born and raised in upstate New York along with my mother. And Dan Charbonneau was his name. And I guess he was pretty well known in upstate New York for his abilities to be able to play the fiddle. But he had passed like 30 or 35 years before I was ever born.
Okay.
So I never had a chance to meet him. Yeah. But my dad, he talked about him. And I guess through those stories, it kind of gave me a little bit of an interest to eventually want to learn to play the instrument myself.
At what age did it click? Did you realize, hey, I think I'd kind of like to do this? Because if I read your bio, right, this is, you haven't really pursued any other sort of career, is that right?
Well, I mean, being a bluegrass musician, financially, unless you're with certain groups, you tend not to make a lot of money. So you find other things to do along the way. But music is about 80-85% of what I do. But I guess I was probably about 13 or 14. I was actually at a violin competition where they, you play in front of some judges and then they critique you and all that sort of thing. And I can remember one of the judges asked me, he said, "Is this something you think you might want to pursue?" He was just talking about classical music at that point. But I was like, "Yeah, I think I might actually want to try to do this." And then when my dad found out, of course, he was like, "We'll do whatever we need to do to help you get there." So, if that means more lessons and, going to these different festivals and that sort of thing, we'll make sure that you get what you need. And so, between mom and dad dragging me to all these different places, obviously would have never been able to pursue it to the degree that I was able to.
Do you remember a time during that part of your life where you, it kind of, you had this awareness of, you know what, I think I could do this. I could actually pursue this professionally. And, you know, you said earlier, make a living is a sketchy word in the music business, but do it in a way that it was kind of your main focus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, when I started to make that commitment, you know, I had to give up some other things. You know, I was in Boy Scouts. I was playing a lot of baseball. I absolutely loved playing baseball. And, you know, I kind of at one point thought that might be a career path for me too. But I ended up choosing music over all that. And, you know, I guess I don't know if it was more stable than anything else I was like, thinking about at the time or not. But, yeah, so when I was about 15 years old, I guess. I had been going to a place called Carl Allen's Historical Cafe, and every Thursday night there they had jam sessions in these multiple dining rooms that the building had. But in the main dining hall in the very back, they had a stage, and they would have, you know, four or five, six bands on a Thursday night perform there. And I got to know all these different people that were performing, and I'd end up playing maybe two or three sets a night with various bands back there. And you know, a lot of them were also doing gigs throughout the week or on a weekend somewhere at a festival, you know, all local, of course. But that opportunity, like, really opened my eyes that, hey, I'm actually making as much, if not more, than what my brother is doing. My brother was working at a local grocery store.
Okay.
And, you know, making just a little bit more than minimum wage, probably. And I would go play a couple of hours on a Saturday night and make just as much as he did after working after school all week at that store. So it kind of opened my eyes up enough that I think I can actually pursue this and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And you jumped on it pretty quick out of high school, right? As far as getting out on the road with a band?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I actually had a band lined up called the Sam Mountain Boys. So I had performed at Shotoma Youth Ranch, which was a festival there in Dade City. I practically grew up at that festival. And there was one weekend in particular that a couple bands that I knew that were local showed up, and they didn't have any fiddle players. So I got to fill in and you know, make a little extra cash and that sort of thing. And the fiddle player from the Sam Mountain Boys saw me playing, and he was getting ready to step away for a little while, and he was trying to find a replacement. And that was, let's see, that would have been in November of 96. And so I'm in my senior year of high school, and I get a call from Jerry Crane, which was the bass player of the Sam Mountain Boys. Said, hey, we need somebody to fill in this coming New Year's at Sertoma, where they're going to have a little New Year's show. Would you be willing to do it? I said, absolutely. And they sent me the material, and I spent the next, you know, basically month, you know, cramming everything I could, trying to learn everything I could. And at the end of the night, they said, well, Kenny's leaving and we're needing somebody. Are you interested in the job? You know, I was 17 at the time, so I'm still a minor, you know.
Right.
And so they talked with my mom and dad. Of course, they were there, and we ironed out some details. And from that point forward, I was committed to play with them. And I didn't get to do a whole lot from basically January 1st until I graduated high school, which was June the 3rd, and I left the house June the 4th to hit the road.
Wow. And you've pretty much a steady stream of some of the bigger names in bluegrass you've been able to play with since then.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, very blessed. You know, I had an opportunity to play in Doyle Austin's band. I was part of Quicksilver for almost 6 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I played with Larry Stevenson for 2 years. I was the first fiddle player that he ever hired. Carolina Road previous to that. I got to do a number of gigs with Bobby Osborne in the Rocky Top Express.
That's cool.
Sonny had already retired, but I got to play with Bobby. And then Jim and Jesse, before Jim passed, I got to do an Opry date with them. I've been, you know, just very blessed and very lucky to do what I get to do.
Does that put you on the road a good chunk of the year?
Yeah, there's been times that I've been on the road, you know, close to 200, over 200 days a year. And then there's, you know, it just depends on the season of the band. You know, some bands are, you know, you ride a wave and you're on top of that wave and you're busy as you're everywhere. And then the wave starts to come down somewhat and things start to slow down. But I'm at a point in my life right now where I've got, you know, I've got two high school kids here. I've got my daughter's 14 and she's in the ninth grade. My son, is 16, getting ready to turn 17. He's going to be a senior next year. He's a junior right now.
Wow.
And, you know, they're playing sports, you know, football and soccer. And you know, when you're on the road a lot, you miss out on those things. So right now we're just at a good point where I'm getting to see that as well as, you know, with the Radio Ramblers, who I'm playing with right now, Joe Mullins and Radio Ramblers. We're cutting back just enough to where we're still making a good living, but also where we're being home and getting to see these things and be parts of our daily lives with our families.
Yeah. You don't get those back. So that's awesome that you guys are paying attention to that and being able to work that into your life. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you've got some side things too, side projects that you work on. Is that right?
Yeah. So I do a lot of recording here at the house. People send me tracks. I record fiddle and mandolin for people. Also, I have the ability to be able to do mixing and mastering here at home. So I do quite a bit of that as well. I also have since I was turned 15, I started working on fiddles and doing repair and restoration work.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do that. I buy, sell, trade on those. I also build fiddles now. I got in that about 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's like I mentioned earlier, when you're a bluegrass musician, sometimes the road life or the road band that you play with doesn't necessarily help you make ends meet, so you find other avenues to make a little extra money.
Yeah.
It's just a few things that I do.
I guess this is kind of a vague question, but I'm always intrigued. You growing up in Florida and kind of being a product of that region and then being out with these bands and traveling all over different parts of the country. What, if you can answer the question, what's the difference between growing up in Florida bluegrass versus like Carolina, Virginia, and even, I think you mentioned that your granddad played music in New York. I mean, it seems like there's a little bit of a difference between all the different regions. Can you sense that, or were you aware of that once you began playing with other folks?
I wasn't aware of it at the start because I would say Florida's kind of a melting pot of different styles because, like I said, you had all these people that would come down and spend the winters. You know, you had people coming down from Ohio and Michigan and New York and, you know, up the Northeast and even some people from the Mid-Eastern states like Virginia, North Carolina, they'd come down and spend the winters as well. And so you had all these different dialects of playing, you know, just the same way that people talk differently in different parts of the state, the United States. So it's the same way with their instruments and the kind of music that they play and tend to gravitate towards. I didn't realize that at first, but then once I started branching out and traveling, you know, and you go to upstate New York and you hear a fiddle player, they're very influenced by the whole French Canadian style of playing. And that it has kind of an Irish vibe to it. And then if you go to Texas, you know, they have a completely different style of fiddle playing there.
And
Georgia and Alabama, you know, where there's a little bit more, I don't know exactly how to put it, but anyway, it's all different. You know, and if you go to the mountains of North Carolina and southwestern Virginia, the style of bluegrass there is heavily influenced by old time music. Like if you listen to some of the stuff like Lonesome River Band does, Sammy lives in that region.
Right.
And, you know, the banjo player of Lonesome River Band and that he's heavily influenced by the fiddle playing of Tommy Jarrell.
And
that whole style. Sure. So it spills over into their music and helps shape their sound for what it is.
Yeah. I think a group that hails from a certain region, if you're into music a lot, you can really start to tell the difference. And I find it interesting when you can talk to somebody that's been a player long enough that they recognize that. And it really makes the different, I think you used the word dialect. It really makes the different dialects of music unique and interesting to track as well.
Yeah. And you can, you know, if you don't hear it necessarily in the music itself, you'll hear it in the singing and the vocals.
Right.
And
true.
The whole style of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to take somebody from Massachusetts or Maine and bring them down south and make them blend in because they're going to, just the way that they pronounce their words, and it's going to be completely different.
Sure, yeah. And you've written some songs, right? At least one album out. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I love writing fiddle tunes, mandolin tunes. I do a lot of that. I do write singing songs as well. It seems like the inspiration for instrumentals comes a lot easier, being that I'm mainly an instrumentalist. Mm-hmm. I do sing, but not nearly as much as I actually play. So the instrumental side comes a lot easier to me. But yeah, I do write, and I like to co-write as well with people. You never know what kind of ideas you're going to bounce off each other. Sure. and what you're going to inspire from yourself or to the next person. So it's fun to co-write as well.
And you have a solo project out, is that correct?
Yeah. So I've this actually makes my fourth solo project.
Okay.
The newest one here is called Radioactive on Billy Blue Records.
Yeah.
So the fun part about what we've done with Billy Blue Records on my this project and the last one is we came up with this persona, and it really just kind of came from this idea of I wanted to do a comic book style cover.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that. It's really cool looking. I like it.
Yeah, appreciate it. So my brother, Eric, he's a great artist. He's phenomenal at doing comic book style art. That's where his passion's at.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's had to do other things just like a musician would to make ends meet and does commercial art and design and layout and that sort of thing. But he's been a part of everything I've done mm-hmm. up to this point. So I wanted to make sure that he was showcased as well. So when I went to Billy Blue, I told him this idea that I had for the cover. Well, Ed Leonard, the president of the label, said, "Man, that's a great idea, but let's take it even further." He said, let's make like some sort of comic book hero or persona out of, kind of loose basically on what you do. And I said, "Well, yeah, we could do that. I like that idea." And I said, "Well, what if we do like a whole comic book inside and do a story?"
Yeah.
And they jumped behind it. Yeah. So they said, "Let's do that." And so we came on this particular album. I'm the Ramblin' Fiddler, and that's my superhero name.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so we have an evil DJ. He's called the Shock Jock. And
that's cool.
So he's playing this music that's turning all these people into zombies. And there's now an emergency, and the fiddle signal goes up in the air, which happens to look sort of like a bat signal, but it's got a big fiddle in it. So the Ramblin' Fiddler decides he needs to jump in there and save the people of Musicopolis.
Wow, that's cool. Is the songs that you wrote for that, did you try to make them fit that idea, or did you write did the idea come later?
No, the idea for that story came after.
Yeah.
I had been working on the music for this project for close to 2 years now, and I didn't have an idea for the story on the inside. And then, I tend to be a procrastinator and wait till the last minute to get things done. And, unfortunately, it's a trait that I have, good or bad. I don't know. But
I understand. I feel your pain.
So we got to where we needed to get a storyline for this thing and get my brother going on the artwork. And I was racking my brain trying to come up with something just for a title, and I was like, we need to tie this in somehow to the whole comic book theme again.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's sort of musical too. And that's where the term Radioactive came from.
Yeah.
Is that, hey, in comic books, they deal with radioactive material, and that tends to be where some of the superheroes get their powers from.
Yeah.
And then, being that I play with the Radio Ramblers, it kind of ties in with that, too, being radioactive.
Uh-huh, that's cool.
And then we're trying to be on the radio, too, and get people to play the music. So, we're trying to be radioactive in that regard. So.
That's cool. Do you ever feel like you'd like to lead your own band one day? Is that something that's in your future, maybe?
You never know. There's been times in the past where, we've tried to team up with some other guys, and it just, the one thing or reason or another, it never panned out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I've always believed, and even more so as I get older, that things happen the way that they're supposed to happen when they're supposed to happen.
Sure, yeah.
And, if it means that one day that I have my own band, or I join up with, four or five other guys and we have a band, not just me,
but, mm-hmm.
It's a total band collaboration, then that's okay. And if that doesn't happen, you know, I'm content where I'm at with Joe and what we're doing there. So yeah. It's, you know, I've learned if I try to force things to happen, it can work out, but sometimes it doesn't. And I find if I just, I let God handle the situation and put me where he needs me, when he needs me, then it tends to work out better.
Yeah. So. Well, you certainly have a good group of guys to hang out with there for as long as that season lasts. And so, I've Joe's music's great, and I've seen you play with him a time or two, and you know, it sounds like a good bunch of fellas, and it looks like it leaves you room to do family and the other things too. So, you know, a good situation, sounds like.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's a great guy to work for. I don't have any complaints at all. Just nothing but good to say. And I feel like too, you know, we just released a new band project called Let Time Ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's one of the best things that we've ever done.
That's good.
Everything just kind of fell in place on that project, you know, from the song selection down to how we all work together and trying to decide on arrangements and how everything's going to sound.
So if listeners want to check out Radioactive or any of your other projects or get in touch with you and about your fiddle building or repairs, what's the best way? How do you like to communicate with people?
Well, they can go to my website, jasonberry.com. That's Barie, jasonberry.com. And on there, you'll find my phone number and email. Any contact info for me is right there. And they can get in touch with me and usually within just a few minutes or, you know, depending on what I'm doing for the day, but I'll be, you know, getting right back in touch with them. So that's probably the best way. And on my website, like I said, there's information about the project. If they want to make a purchase on that, there's information on the fiddle side as far as the rebuilding and repair work. And then there's also, I do leather work as well. So there's a little bit of information on that. Cool. Yeah. And then the recording, services that I offer as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks, Jason. I enjoyed talking to you and learning about your work and especially, you know, your latest project. I didn't realize that, you had carried that theme out all the way like that. So I'm going to go back and look at it again and enjoy that futuristic side of it. So that's cool. And we wish the best with your music and your tours with Joe this year.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's been fun being on the show with you here today. And if you ever need me again, just, you know, you got my number. So be sure to get back in touch.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.